minds and think through them, take our lips and speak through them, and take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. A few years ago, I spent a week skiing in Jackson Hole with my cousin, who is a snowboarder herself. One afternoon, I had this brilliant idea of joining her in snowboarding. Before that day, I had done this 2 times, and the last time I hadn't been too bad at it. I even became pretty comfortable. Now, that had been 2 years before, at least, a period of time that had included an accident and a knee surgery, but nonetheless, I thought I would start off again where I had left off. I looked at the lift for the bunny slopes and told my cousin, "I don't need that, I know how to do this." So I started walking towards the gondola that takes you to the top of a mountain famous for its difficult terrain. Let's just say that I didn't start where I had left off 2 years before, or perhaps where I thought I had been 2 years before. I struggled to find a rhythm, which is a really nice way of saying I struggled to stay relatively perpendicular to the ground. But I slowly made it about halfway down the mountain where we were faced with two lifts. And without consulting a map, we went to the right. On the ride up, I realized that we had chosen the lift that led only to the expert trails. Now, completely unprepared for trails ahead of me, I fought to make my body remember how to balance and turn on this board, which I was increasingly wondering why I had strapped to my feet. After some time, I did find a rhythm and I gained some confidence, and I thought, I'm totally getting this, I'm good. But this brought a new problem. Every time my confidence increased and my small ability returned, my speed increased. And as you know, if you've ever done such a sport, as your speed increases, falls increase in, let's say, entertainment quality. Going slowly in the beginning, I was able to just sit down when I lost balance. But going at a decent speed down a difficult slope, losing my balance meant a long and snowy tumble in which I was sure I looked like a cartoon character and wondered if you really could turn into a large snowball rolling down a hill. All the while, I was dreaming of just returning to the bottom of this mountain where I would get rid of this board and promise my skis that I would never, ever forsake them again. The way I approach snowboarding is not unlike how I approach my journey with God sometimes, especially in Lent. One year when I was in seminary, which is to say I already had a lot of reading in my life, I decided that for Lent I would read the entire Bible during those 40 days. Many years I've chosen multiple practices. Rather than just saying morning prayer, I decide I will do all of the daily offices. The problem is that every time, the practices only last for a fraction of the 40 days. I have a day early on where I don't succeed entirely. Perhaps I keep trying for a few days, but then I feel as though it will be impossible to catch up, or ashamed that I wasn't strong enough, good enough, faithful enough to complete what I started. So I give up. I turn in the new thing and go back to whatever I was doing before Lent. And the bigger my plans, the faster and harder I find the fall. Even if what I was doing before wasn't perfect, at least I knew how to do it, and it was comfortable and safe. Some years I've even felt like it was pointless to try to start anything at all, so I don't. I decide that I can't do anything huge and great, can't actually get my spiritual life in order in these 40 days, so why try? But to do so misses the point of Lent, treating a new practice like a New Year's resolution rather than focusing on the goal of this season. The goal is not to keep something up for 40 days. The goal is to find our way into the wilderness so that we can hear the voices that are keeping us from living into who we were made to be, so that with Easter we can return to living in that truth. Our 40 days of Lenten preparation come from major stories in Scripture where people of God spent a period of 40 in the wilderness. The primary story is this one that we always read the first week in Lent, Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. But it also reminds us of the 40 years the Israelites spent in the desert, or the 40 days Elijah spent in the wilderness, and others. There's lots of periods of 40 in the Bible. Why 40? It really is the amount of time that Scripture used to say that something was complete. For these periods in the wilderness, we can say that 40 days really means as long as it takes for us to figure this out. We have made Lent into a literal 40 days, but maybe it would help all of us if with our practices, instead of seeing them as something to keep perfectly over a period of time, we saw them as something that should be done until they were complete, until they had brought us to a new place in our souls. After all, Lent is to help us prepare to walk with Jesus through the death and resurrection that have changed the world. And his preparation for that is what we read about today, in his 40 days in the wilderness. Those 40 days brought him to that place where he could hear the voice of all the things that could draw him away from his purpose, that could rob him of what he came to do. Led by the Spirit, after whatever time it took to get his soul completely in that place, he was able to face those voices fully, where he could choose who he was going to be and how he was going to live out his life. I've always heard a lot made about the specific temptations of Jesus we read about, but I'm not convinced that they correlate specifically to our own temptations. However, I do understand voices that arise in the silence of my heart. We all have ways to distract or numb ourselves from them. Some of our ways are more socially acceptable than others, but we all do this. But there always comes a time when we can no longer silence those voices. This is how Barbara Brown Taylor describes where this temptation took place. In the wilderness. I have an idea that every one of us has already been there. Maybe it looked like a hospital wing or a hospital waiting room to you, or the sheets on a cheap motel bed after you got kicked out of your house. Or maybe it looked like the parking lot where you couldn't find your car on the day you lost your job. It may even have been the kind of desert in the middle of your own chest where you begged for a word from God and heard nothing but the wheezing bellows of your own breath. Sooner or later, every one of us will get to take our own wilderness exam, our own trip to the desert to discover who we really are and what our lives are about. I guess that could sound like bad news, but I don't think it is. I think it is good news, because even if no one ever wants to go there, and even if those of us who end up there want out again as soon as possible, the wilderness is still one of the most reality-based, spirit-filled, life-changing places a person can be. It's in the wilderness that we, like Jesus, have everything stripped away from our souls and hear the voices that tempt us, the voices that threaten us, the voices that scare us. There are times when we really need to listen to them to know what they are saying and why for us that is a temptation, why those voices cause us to struggle, so that we can finally answer them and be at rest. Perhaps one of the main reasons we need to face them is because they can sound really good. Remember that throughout this passage, the devil quotes scripture to Jesus each time. But it does not make him good or right or holy. So too, we have to really hear the voices and question from whom they come, what they are telling us about who we are and who God is. It is in the wilderness, facing all that comes on in the silence, that we have to choose whether we will serve ourselves or God, whether we will live as the center of our own little universe or as the children of God we were created to be. It is in the wilderness that we recognize that we fully face how we are not in control of our lives, and we cower or strike out in fear, or we remember who we are and trust in the one who created us. And the truth is, there's not much that can happen for us without remembering that basic truth, that we are children of God, held in God's hand. Like Taylor said, we all face wildernesses in our lives. You may be in one this Lent, And you may need to just let yourself be there rather than taking on something new. But if you're not, Lent invites you to find a way to bring your hearts to the wilderness, to find a way to make space to hear the voices that surround us and face them fully. Whether it's giving up something that we lean on as a distraction or adding a practice that gives space to listen, we're called to make room in our lives to walk into the wilderness. Because we must know, but we also must know as we go into the wilderness, we must remember that although we focus on the voice of the devil in these passages, that's not who accompanied Jesus for these 40 days. We are told that there he was led by the Spirit. He was never alone, and neither are we. And that's why we must truly go out to the wilderness. Because all those things we use to distract ourselves from the voices we would rather not hear also distract us from the reality of who we are, or most truly, whose we are. There in the wilderness, when all else is stripped away, we know ourselves embraced and held and loved by the God who will never let us go, who will never leave us alone, who came among us, was tempted like us, died and rose again, so that we would never, ever be separated. There in the wilderness, we find the voice that endures long past all the other voices, the light that the darkness can never overcome. So this Lent, I hope you venture into the wilderness, remembering that we are not called to change our life entirely in these 40 days. The journey of Lent is intentionally living more and more in tune with the way God created us to live, preparing ourselves to live into the new resurrected life we will celebrate at Easter. It is part of the greater journey, a lifelong journey with God that certainly includes last week's mountaintop and this week's wilderness, but more than anything, a journey to be taken step by step, knowing that God is always with us. Amen.